As before I actually start this morning, my what the Lord's laid on my heart, I just want to mention that all of you that know who Brad is, my son Brad, who is one of the pastors here, he also, hello, okay, yeah, I'm here. He's one of the pastors here, and you know that he and his wife Tammy went to Uganda. They left on last Wednesday, and this morning I got a text, and surprise, it was Brad, all the way from Uganda, and they did make it there fine. But I do, you don't have to stand, but I do want to start this morning by praying for them. They will be there till the 17th of April, and of course there's challenges when you go to a foreign country. But oh my goodness, what a great testimony that they came back with last time. Signs and wonders and miracles. They will be ministering. He told me they're going to be ministering for the next 6 days. They're going to be ministering twice a day for the next 6 days. And that made me want to take a nap right then and there. So let's just pray for their physical bodies, for the results, and for their protection. So, Father, we, first of all, we lift up Brad and the team from World Harvest that has gone over to Uganda. Lord, we know how these mission trips are very much on your mind in these last days as we spread the gospel to the ends of the world. Lord, we lift up Brad and Tammy and all those that are ministering. Strengthen their mortal bodies beyond the natural. Cause them to have such anointing resting on them that it will not tax their mortal body at all. But they will just live with that eternal life flowing through them day by day. Put your words in their mouth to speak what you would have them to speak, especially to these pastors that represent so many people there. Lord, may there be supernatural results as according to your plan and your purpose in this ministry that goes forth. And Father, we plead the blood of Jesus over all of them from the United States that have gone. The angels of the Lord will be round about them to protect them and keep them, that no harm or evil will come to them. We declare, Lord God, that you will accompany them in all their way while they're there and bring them back safely. In Jesus' name, amen. And Father, as we prepare to hear from you this morning, hear the word of God from you, from your heart, Lord, I know that this message is something that you really, really want us to understand. And Lord, I'm just a mouthpiece, and I just declare that the Spirit of God will speak through my mouth, think through my mind, and will deposit on the inside of your people what you want them to hear so that they can reach a place of victory that maybe they're struggling in. Lord, we want victory in every person's life just like you do. So, Father, we thank you for your precious word. We declare that it is sharper than a two-edged sword, that it goes forth, divides between the spirit and soul and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, and that we are being changed from glory to glory as that word is being deposited in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I have been, when I've been sharing, the Lord had placed on my heart several weeks ago to share about living victorious in a chaotic world. Now, I don't know why I would think, other than just hearing news from different places, that, oh my goodness, the world is very chaotic. So it's No wonder that God wants us to know how to live victorious. Because this world is not like we would like for it to be. It's really not the way God wants it to be. But we can be the way God wants us to be. We can be victorious no matter what happens out there. You and I can be victorious. So that's what we've been looking at, and I've been starting in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, just to kind of paint the picture that Paul talked to Timothy about the end times. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Timothy, the third chapter, he said, "But understand this." You know what? I want to read that out of the Passion, if you would, please. We've read this many times whenever I've been teaching this, but can you get that in the Passion? Real quick, just to get a little bit different perspective of it. If it's too hard, we'll go ahead and read this. But Paul was talking to Timothy, and he was talking about the end times, the last days. Well, how many of you are really convinced that we are living in the last days? Some of you are. Can you not get that in the Passion? Oh, there we go. Okay. But you need to be aware that in the final days, the culture of society will become extremely fierce. People will be self-centered lovers of themselves and obsessed with money. They will boast of great things as they strut around in their arrogant pride and mock all that is right. They will ignore their own families. They will be ungrateful and ungodly. They will become addicted to hateful and malicious slander. We know that's going on. Slaves to their desires. They will be ferocious, belligerent, haters of what is good and right. With brutal treachery, they will act without restraint, bigoted and wrapped in clouds of their conceit. They will find their delight in the pleasures of this world more than the pleasures of the living God. Having read that, I would say we are living in that day, and it is chaotic. So we're going to learn, we've been talking about different things that we need to know in order to be victorious, even when all of that is going on around us. Jesus talked about the last days in Luke, the 21st chapter. This whole chapter of Luke 21 is about the last days. And then verse 34, he says, "But take heed to yourself and be on your guard." Now, we do have to guard our hearts during this time, because we will be affected if we don't guard ourselves. And he said, "Lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed, weighed down with the giddiness and headache and nausea of self-indulgence." We talked about that, I believe it was last time. "Drunkenness and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life, and lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose." So leave that up there just a minute. Well, we've talked about the nausea of self-indulgence, etc. Today, I want to talk about the worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And so we find out that cares can be a problem in the end times. Have you ever heard anybody complaining about what's going on in the world today? And they're worried and they're anxious. Jesus said this will be a temptation in the last days, because things are not going as we would like for them to go. So what is the answer? And what is the problem with cares? So I want to look at the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark 4 that we talked about last time I ministered, not Easter, but the time before, where it talks about the different things that can cause the word not to be fruitful in your life. So I want to look at Matthew 13, 22 first. For those that was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word. Now all of us are hearing the word, and it's important to hear the word. But we find out in this parable that just hearing the word is not enough for the word to do us any good in our lives in a practical sense. Because the word itself has the power of God in it, but your heart is the determining factor as to whether you have fruit. Now, I just want to mention this. Fruit from the word is the word performing in your life what that word says it's going to be, that those promises. For instance, the promise of healing. When that word is sown into your life, fruit is when you have healing or divine health. Prosperity, there's words, the word of prosperity can come into your life. You can hear it, get excited, but if it doesn't produce fruit, you'll be just like you were before. The word does have the ability, because it's like a seed, to produce what Jesus sent it or God sent it to do in your life. And if it's not working in your life, then it's not the seed's fault, it's the heart's fault. So let's check our heart. That's why he says, guard your heart. So it says, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world, and I'm going to just stop there because we've already talked about the other. The cares of the world choke and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. Look at Mark 4:19. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and the distractions of the age and all the other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. Now let's look at it in Luke. Luke 8:14. For as for those that fell among the thorns, these are the people who hear, but then they go their way, and they are choked and suffocated with the anxieties and cares and all these other things, and the fruit does not ripen or come to maturity and perfection. So there are consequences to if you allow the anxieties and cares of this world, there are consequences, spiritually speaking, to allow these things in your heart. And so let me just kind of sum it up here. In Luke 21, Jesus said, if you let these cares come on you, then when Jesus comes back, he's going to come suddenly like a trap or a noose. In other words, you're not going to be ready. It's going to stop your progress in the kingdom of God, and this day is going to surprise you. Then it says that, of course, we just read, the cares choke and suffocate the word. It yields no fruit. It does not ripen or come to maturity and perfection. So what he's saying is this: if you let your cares and the anxieties of this world come into your life, what you hear maybe on Sunday morning will be lost during the week. Jesus tells us that it's the doer of the word that's going to be blessed. Those that do the word that keep on believing the word, that's going to be blessed. And so I'm just kind of trying to get across this morning the cares and anxieties of this age. It's serious. It will affect your life. So we're going to talk about some things that the Bible has to say about what to do and what's going on in our lives. Now, some people think this. Some people think that everything that comes to you in your life, that it has to come through the hands of God to get to you, that God has to okay it. So that everything that happens to you is God's fault. Some people think that, have you ever heard this statement, God is in control? Yes. Now, you don't need to answer me out loud. But is that a true statement? Now, God can be in control of your life. He can be. But is God in control of everything that happens on this earth? He's not a very good God if he's in control of human trafficking. If he's in control of the wars and the different things that is going on in this world today, he's doing a pretty poor job if he's in control. So just to lay a foundation so that we can understand where all these tests, trials, and tribulations come from, let's look at John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, I've told you these things so that in Jesus, you may have perfect peace and confidence. See, that's the victory in the middle of chaos. Now he says, in the world. So we have a difference here. We have people that are in Christ, and then over here we have people that are in the world. Which are you? Now he also says in the world, because you're in the world. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. He says, because you're in this world. And we're all still in this world. I can verify that. We're here. We're not in another world. We're here in this world. This is what Jesus says. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trial. You're going to have distress. And you're going to have frustration. Now, don't raise your hand, but how many of you have experienced that? Maybe even last week or this week. Okay, some of you did raise your hand. We know that to be true. In this world, there are problems that come. We have problems to face. But then Jesus said to be of good cheer. Really? Take courage. Be confident, certain, undaunted, because Jesus says this, I have overcome the world and I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So you see, when you're in Jesus, there will be frustrations. The world's going to bring frustrations, but do they come from God? Good answer. Why do we have all this in this world? Because God is not the God of this world. 1 Corinthians 4:4. What does that say? I hope I gave that to you, Larry. For the God of this world has blinded the unbeliever's mind that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. the god of this world. How did Satan get to be the god of this world? When Adam and Eve sinned, they handed over authority to Satan. So he became the god of this world. 1 John 5:19, please. 1 John 5:19 says, "We know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one." Now, what is his mode of operation? John 10:10. John 10:10 says, "The thief," that's the devil, "comes in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came." And so we could say, if we look at Jesus, he said, "You look at me, you see God." So he says, "I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." God's plan, now when he is in control of any situation, when he's in control of your life, when you've surrendered yourself to him like we sang, when you are in Christ, the plan God has for you is this. Leave that up there, Larry, for just a minute. The plan that God has for you is to enjoy life, even in the midst of chaos, frustration, etc. Yes. And to have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. That's God's plan for each one of us. So what are we supposed to do when we have problems that come? We can look at, I've got lots of notes here and very little time. So we're going to get as much said and done this morning as we can. So I just want to remind you of the children of Israel. You know, when they came out of Egypt, they were slaves there. God sent all of these plagues to supernatural things to happen, and then God delivered them with a high hand, and they came to the Red Sea, and the waters parted, and he just delivered them so supernaturally. And they really didn't know God up until that time, but now they're seeing his power and the way he works, and they're starting to know him. And they got out into that wilderness, and they actually went to the very edge of the promised land. They sent in spies to see what it was like. Now, God's plan was for the children of Israel to go into the promised land. Isn't that right? He didn't want them to just go out partway and then die. He had prepared this wonderful promised land for them. So they came up to the edge of the promised land. They found out that there were giants there. And then what did they come up against obstacles. Now, you and I, when we're on our journey with the Lord, many times we're going to come up against roadblocks, tests, trials, tribulations, frustrations. That's what Jesus said. So what do we do? Are we going to do like they did? See, what they did, they took the care of all these bad reports and dumped them on themselves. Now, you can't control what happens outside of you, but you can control what gets in you. And what we see the children of Israel doing, they started crying, moaning, murmuring, complaining, doubting, unbelief. This mighty God that had already showed him his hand to be so magnificent, now they're saying, the very first thing that they started saying was, "Oh, I wish we had died in Egypt. Oh, you brought us out here, God, to kill us. Is that a true statement? When you have trials that come your way that seem negative, the tendency is this: to prophesy negative results. You get a bill that you can't pay, and you say, oh, well, wouldn't you know it? Every time we start to get ahead, something happens that takes all of our money. Is that God's plan for you? God's plan is what? For you to enjoy life, for it to overflow. God's plan is a good plan for you. But the children of Israel, if you'll read the account of the children of Israel, every time something happened that they were concerned about, anxious about, the thing that came out of their mouth was this: we're just going to die. We're going to die, 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 die. And you know what happened to them? They died. They died in the wilderness and never got to experience the promised land. Do the cares of this life matter? It'll stop God's supernatural working in your life. God wants to take care of us. Remember in Mark, the 4th chapter, when the disciples were in the boat and Jesus was sleeping, and this terrible storm came with hurricane proportions, according to the Bible. And they said, they finally woke Jesus up and said, Jesus, don't you care? We're perishing. You know, if something's wrong with you, Jesus is in your boat and you think you're going to die. But that's what the cares of this life will do. When it comes in, it'll short circuit your believing. And you know, you may not be in control of circumstances, but you are in control of your believing. And nobody else can do your believing for you. So it boils down, I just want to pull out a verse out of Mark 4 when the disciples were complaining about the storm. I'm just going to read 39 and 40. Jesus arose, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, hush now, be still. And the wind ceased, that is, it sank to rest as if exhausted by beating, and there was immediately a great calm and a perfect peacefulness. And he said to them, why are you so timid and fearful? How is it you have no faith? Why is care has such a detriment in our life? Because it steals our faith. In the middle of every care, when you have anxiety and care, you have fear mixed with it. And fear and faith cannot stay in the same vessel. And so Jesus said, you have no faith. How is it you have no faith? And listen to this. No firmly relying trust. The issue, if you take the cares of this world on you, the issue is this, that you don't trust God. There is a trust factor. Trust is a little bit different than faith. They work together. Faith is believing God's word is true and acting like it is. Trust is believing in God's character, that he cares for you and that he will do what he needs to do to change your circumstances. In 1991, in October, Charlie and I were asleep, and the phone rang. And when he answered the phone, I could tell it was our oldest son, Quentin. Now, his wife, Tricia, was due to have her second baby, which was a girl, which they had prayed for. They had a boy already, and so they prayed for this girl. And every day, when I was in my prayer time, I would pray for Keely. They already named her. They named her Keely. And so we were expecting this beautiful girl, looking forward to it, and it was time. And Quentin called at 2 o'clock that morning and said, "You guys need to pray. The doctors say the cord is wrapped around Keely's neck, and she's in, it's serious." And it was really traumatic to me, because just a few months earlier than that, Kim, Eugene's wife, had CE, which you know who he is. He's back hiding probably in the tech room. But the cord had been wrapped around his neck, and it was just seconds to spare when they finally got him out, because he was as blue could be. And was close to death. And so I already had that trauma in my life and the cord wrapped around Keely's neck. So I went down in the basement and I began to pray and I began to intercede. And I said, "God, I prayed for this girl. You know that I prayed every day. This can't be happening." And I was praying and praying and praying and praying. You know how you pray in fear, which was what I was doing. And I heard the voice of God. And he said, "Don't you trust me?" And I thought, you know, you just glibly say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, I trust you, I trust you." But that night, I realized this was serious. I needed to know what trust really was. Do I really trust God? Can I trust God with this life that was so precious? And just as I was thinking about that, I had this just a flash or a vision, and I saw the Black Canyon of the Mesas, I think. The Black Canyon of the Mesas. We had visited it years before, and it is a gorge so deep that birds flying around look like mosquitoes. It's just there's a big river at the bottom, but it looks like just a little silver thread. It's so deep. And up there where we were observing was this railing, this wooden railing. And so you could come up to this railing and you could look over and you could see what was down there. But let me tell you, I would not lean on that wood fence. I would not lean on that railing. You know why I wouldn't lean on it? Because I didn't trust it. Because if it gave way, I would die. So I didn't trust. And the Lord said, "When you trust me, you lean upon me with your whole life, knowing I will never let you down." And that's when I really started seeing the character of God. He cares for us. We'll read a scripture in a minute. He cares for us. He won't let us down. And then I realized, you know, I can't do anything about Keely except believe God. God's the only one. You see, when circumstances are beyond your control, they are beyond your control. Sometimes you think, well, the only thing I can do is worry. No. When they're beyond your control, you need supernatural help. And so I started saying, "Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you." And pretty soon, I really did believe that I trusted him. I started seeing, and perfect peace came. I went upstairs, went to bed, went to sleep. And we started out for Bartlesville the next day. And Quentin called just before we left, and he said, "Hey, the doctors say everything's all right now." And I thought, I couldn't do that, but God could. God takes care of our circumstances. And so Philippians 4, let's look at Philippians, the fourth chapter. Verse 6. Paul says, "Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, But in every, how many? Every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And then verse 7. And God's peace shall be yours, that tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort it is, that peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's look at that in the TPT. Now, the meaning, I didn't actually get to this, but the meaning of cares means to be pulled in another direction. What direction are you pulled towards, and what direction are you pulled away from? You're pulled towards doubt and unbelief, and you're pulled away from faith in God and trust in God. So, when cares come, it's for a purpose, to pull you away from who you should be believing in. So, this is a TPT. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. I'm just going to stop there. I wonder if there's anybody here in this place that is worried about anything. Just thinking, just wondering. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Do this instead. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. In verse 7. Then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Christ. God wants us to be peaceful even in the midst of a storm, because Jesus can still the storm. Now, I just want one other little illustration. I talked about Brad's Uganda trip. And, you know, when he was here, he said that they were going to have pastors' conferences and they were going to feed the pastors and house them. And it was going to take $20,000 to do that. And at the time he was here, they still lacked $10,000. They just had half of the money they needed. So after they were here a little bit, they got $5,000 more, so they had $15,000. So last Sunday, when I was watching Brad's service, he, you know, kind of filled the congregation in and said, you know, we've got all the money except $5,000. And so, you know, he just kind of mentioned it and went on. And then Monday morning, I was talking to him. He was talking to me on the phone, and we were talking. He said, you know, I was talking about our services and different things. I had a lot more to talk about than he did because of the fire alarm and all that. But so he said, no, we haven't got, you know, we haven't got the 5,000 yet, but we're believing God. And he wasn't worried. He wasn't anxious. And then he said, oh, excuse me, I'm going to have to hang up and I'll call you back. So he hung up. 30 minutes later, he called me back and he said, I had to hang up because a man came into my office. And he said this. He said, the man came in and told him, he said, several weeks ago, the Lord told me to take $5,000 out of my bank account in cash. And he said, I didn't know what I was supposed to do with it. So I put it in a safe at home, didn't know what God wanted me to do with it. And he said, when I heard that you needed 5,000 more for your trip, God said, that's why. And he laid down the $5,000 to Brad. Amen. I think that deserves a hand. That's the God we serve, people. We just don't, you know, we get so caught up sometimes in the cares of this life that we forget we have a supernatural God that has everything that we need. I'm going to end with 1 Peter 5:7. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. Now, you remember what the disciples said whenever they were in that storm? They came up to Jesus and said, "Don't you care?" Sometimes we don't think that God cares or even knows what we're going through. But according to this verse, it says that God does care affectionately. Now, there's a difference between being affectionate and doing something out of duty. God cares for you affectionately. That means He cares that your bills are paid. That means He cares what's happening in your family. That means He cares whether you're in pain. He's made provision for everything that you have need of, according to 2 Peter. He's given us all things that pertains to life and to godliness. He wants us to live above the chaotic world. You know, Noah lived in a chaotic time. There was judgment coming on the world. And yet Noah and his family floated up above the chaos of the world, and it did not touch them. They were able to escape the chaos that was in the world. That's what God has for us today. You wonder why over and over at the end of a service I'll pray the 91st Psalm? Because I've experienced the power of that 91st Psalm. It sets us apart. We're in a different category. We're in the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. No evil will befall us. No plague comes nigh our dwelling. That's what that psalm says. And let me tell you, it works. 1 year, I had 5 of my grandchildren in car wrecks that totaled the vehicles. 5 of them in 1 year. And one of them was pregnant with my great-grandchild. So I would say 6 of my descendants were in car wrecks that totaled their cars. 3 of them were rollovers. And every single one of them walked away without a scratch. Why? Does that just happen to happen just because I'm who I am? Absolutely not. Because I pray that prayer over my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren every day in my prayer time. I pray Psalms 91. That's the way you live above the chaos of this world. The cares of this world will suck the faith out of you. But the Word of God will produce fruit if you keep it implanted in your life. We didn't look at Luke 8:15, but it says, those that produce fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, they're the ones that keep the word with patience. They watch over that word. That's what God's calling us to do in this chaotic time. Stand with me. I don't know what's going on in your life this morning, but there are some here that I feel like that may have some cares of this world, that you need some supernatural help. Is there anybody here that is like that? You need some supernatural help in your life. Everybody that, wow, we're doing pretty good here. I see several, but not everybody. So that means some of us are doing really pretty good. And that's what we would expect. Anybody else want to raise your hand? Okay. Got some. So this is what I want us to do. As the prayer team comes up here, I would like those that would like special prayer for those cares that's going on in your life to come up with them. Just come on up. And some people don't like to get up in front of people, but that's fine. I'll tell you, you can wait till after we dismiss if you'd like, but I want us to all pray a prayer together. Anybody else want to come up here before we pray that prayer? So let's just pray this prayer together. Say, Father, I resist anxiety, care. I resist it right now. And Father, I'm going to do what your word tells me to do. I'm going to roll the care of it over on you. I'm going to give it to you because you're the only one that can change anything. Right now, I roll my care over on you and I receive your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a word that the Lord gave me. I really want to read it to you. I was going through a kind of a stressful time just recently. And I'd done everything that I knew to do to take care of it, but the situation hadn't worked itself out yet. And I was in prayer. And this is what the Lord said to me. I never intended for my children to carry a heavy load of care. It's only heavy if you think I am not there. After you have done your best, trust me, child, I'll do the rest. And then later on, just a day or two later, he said this to me. There are times when circumstances seem too complicated for you to handle. That's when I can take them off your hands. My wisdom created the universe. Any situation you face is small in light of my grace. Trust me. We need to trust him more. He watches over us carefully, and he cares for you affectionately. You individually. He really knows what's going on in your life. And he wants to get involved. So, Father, as we go our way this morning, there are those, I believe, that will be facing situations in the days to come. Perhaps they've already faced situations, and they haven't been able to see the results that they would like to see. Father, show them your glory. Show them your power in the midst of all of the chaos and the frustration. Show them, show us, Lord. Because we do believe that we are being moved from glory to glory to glory. And we praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, that we are in that secret place of the Most High. that we are under the shadow of the Almighty. And we say, Lord, you are our refuge. You are our strength. You are the one that we trust. 1,000 can fall at our side, 10,000 at our right hand, but it does not come near us. In the secret place of the Most High, Lord, you give your angels charge over us to protect us, to keep us in all our ways, to lift us up lest we dash our foot against a stone. No evil befalls us and no plague comes nigh our dwelling. That's what we're believing, Lord, and our trust is in you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, if you would like to have prayer, be sure and come up. And we have prayers here. Eugene, would you come up here? And okay. So if you have children, go out this door, get your children. Thank you all for coming. But I pray that this week you will experience the presence of the Lord and that you will get to know God better so that you can truly trust Him. In Jesus' name, you're dismissed.